Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4 in our Bibles. 1 John chapter 4. Pastor will be preaching from verses 7 and 8, but what I'd like to do is read from verse number 1 just to set in our minds where we're at in the text. Hear then the word of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So reads the word of the living God.
Amen. A wonderful hymn, wonderful lyrics, just pitiful singing. And I'm going to save Richard and do a little preaching right now. So thankful for that, and thankful again that we can sing again of our God's great love. And as we come to these verses that we just read, we come to a new section in this epistle. We've just gone through the opening six verses. I get the signal right over here. Let me see if I can get this on. We've gone through the opening six verses, which has called us to be discerning as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize there's false teachers that happen to be out there, and need, again, to really be discerning of the spirits and test the spirits that happen to be out there. As we come to this section, he begins this new section on love, and this is the third time he's talked about love in this book, and a book that's on the whole idea of evidence of spiritual life. You begin to see that love and the application of love is a definite spiritual quality or characteristic of those who happen to be born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's three ways, again, love is talked about in the Word of God. One is, again, God's love for us, our love for God. And then in the third way, it happens to be, again, our love for one another. You know, and as we look at this whole idea, again, of love, he's mentioned in chapter number 2 that love is a sign of our fellowship with God. And in chapter number 3, it happens to be a sign of our adoption with God. You know, as we look at love in this chapter, what it happens to be is a characteristic of God. You know, God is a God of love. And so often we forget this, don't we? You know, so often we forget that the greatest lover that happens to be in the world is God. It's his inherent nature. The only question is before there was a creation, before there was anything, if love is an external expression, if it's something from inside that is expressed externally, how did God love? Before there was a you, before there was me, before there was a creation that happens to be around us. And the answer is really easy. You know, the reason why we can say love with God is eternal is because God is a triune God. Three persons in one being. And that means, again, all the members of the triune God have this perfect love relationship with one another. And you can really see this in redemption, where God the Father, because he loves the Son so much, sends the Son, again, in love, to do the greatest mission, and have the greatest glory brought to him, to come to planet Earth to give his life as that ransom for sin. You can see it again in the Son coming. The Son says over and over and over, I've come to do the will of the Father. I've come to do his will. And he does it again out of love. Love because he cherishes the Father and wants others to be directed towards his Father. You know, as the Holy Spirit comes, as he dwells in our hearts, as he opens up our hearts, he directs all the attention away from himself to Father and Son. And why? Because there's this perfect loving relationship in between the members of the triunity. You know, and as we say that we're made in the image of God, this is one of the ways that we image forth the image of God, isn't it? Where we show what kind of God that there happens to be in heaven is by our loving God and loving one another. And one of the things we have to realize is, as born-again believers, the unsaved man can do it up to an extent, but as born-again believers, we've been given the nature of God. We've been given the capacity to love those that happen to be around us. Not perfectly, but we are to be loving, loving individuals. And this is something you have to realize. Like all other Christian disciplines that happen to be out there, we are to practice it. We are to learn of the love of God, and the more that we learn of the love of God, the more we inhibit it inside and seek to do it outwards, we become loving individuals. It's almost like a young guy, a young boy playing baseball. I don't know if you've ever had a tendency to see a young boy throw baseball the first time. And let me just say this, it's not pretty. You know, the mechanics are all wrong. He's got his feet all wrong. The ball either goes this way or that way, or even goes behind him sometimes. You know, but the more he learns how to throw that ball, the more fluid it becomes, the more straight it becomes. And it's the same with love. You know, the more as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn about God's love in Jesus Christ, how it's been expressed to us, how it's expressed in the triunity, the more that we practice this love, the more it becomes, again, more fluid in our life. That oddity of loving those who are difficult or loving those who we not normally love actually becomes easier. We're able to express it in a Christ-like way. You know, and this is what God has called us to do. He's called us to be loving individuals to those that happen to be around us, to show them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just realized I have the wrong sermon in front of me. Here it is right here. So I probably could have preached the whole thing, and if I wouldn't have looked down, I wouldn't have known. But it's amazing to look. You know, this is what God has called us to do in Jesus Christ, to be loving. And then there's two points I want to make to begin with. And one is, again, that as we start out here, one of the things that we have to realize, if we're not proceeding in love, we're receding in love. If we're not advancing in Christ-like love, again, then we're digressing in that love. You know, all of our relationships, it doesn't matter how long we've been married, it doesn't matter how long we've had relations with other people, are either preceding or they're regressing. And that's because we live in a fallen world. You know, and our capacity, our natural capacity is towards self-love. It's not towards giving of ourselves to others. It's not, again, towards the idea of us sacrificing and showing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and one of the things you have to ask yourself is your love proceeding? You know, is it going forth? Is it growing in Jesus Christ, or is it receding? You know, our love, because again, we're sinners, because again, our natural place is to love self rather than love God and love others. Are we proceeding with this love? That's number one. The second observation that I want to make before we start looking at this passage of Scripture is basically this. That's why God has given us tough relationships that happen to be in our life. The reason why God has given us tough relationships that happen to be in our life is it's not to frustrate us, right? That's what we think. We think we'd have such a great life and such a great relationship with God and be able to grow if we just had easy relationships. If I didn't have this relationship or that relationship or this relationship that happens to be over here. But the reason why God gives us these relationships that happen to be in our life is, here it is, that we might advance in our love for this great God. That we might realize, again, this is, and we're going to bring this up in the book of Romans over and over and over again, the more that we see the sin that happens to be in our life and the pollution of sin that happens to be in us, the more we are amazed that God would love individuals such as us. You know, we are the tough people to love, and yet God chooses to love us. And the more that we see that love, the more God gives us an opportunity to show that Christ-like love to others that happen to be around us that may not deserve it and even are hard to love that happens to be in our life. So this morning, or this afternoon, as we start this passage of Scripture, I just want us to look at verses 7 and 8 this afternoon. I want us to notice two motivations for love. And the first motivation for love is that it's the very character of God. Look at what it says here. Beloved, let us love one another. And why? For love is from God. You know, I think Richard just mentioned this a couple moments ago, that to say that God is love is not revolutionary. It's not like, wow, I didn't realize that about God. You know, if you went up to an unsaved person and you said God is love, they would say, of course he is. I know that. You know, this is not, again, a revolutionary teaching many times. You know, and I think a lot of times when we hear this, that God is love, our love is from God, a lot of times we just assume, You know, because we know that, and because we have relationships that are positive that happen to be in our life, that we know enough about the love of God. In other words, we check it off in the box. We say again, done, there, did that. You know, I'm loving like God. Let's go on. And here's an amazing thing. The more that you learn about God, the more you learn about His nature, the more that you learn about who He is, our minds are stretched by the glory and the capacity of God to love and how He loves us. And we actually grow in love. And when we grow in that love for Him and that appreciation of His love for Him, we grow in our love for one another. We grow in love in our marriages, in our families, in our relationships towards one another. And it's with that in mind, He gives us this verse in verse number 7. He says, Beloved, now notice the word love is named three times right here in this short clause. It says, Beloved, let us love one another. And then He says, For love is from God. Do you see those three usages? And first of all, He says, Beloved. You know, and I love that, don't you? Because He's calling them, again, what they are. He's telling us our status as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we? We are the beloved. You know, again, and so often when we look at our lives, so often when we look at the struggles, so often when we look at even the difficult people, the difficult circumstances that happen to be in our life, we forget. We forget who we are before God. And let me just say, this is who we are before God. We're the beloved. We're ones that are loved by this great God that happens to be above. And He says, on the basis of that, on the basis that you're the beloved, He commands us to do this. Let us love one another. And He's speaking specifically, you know, you look at the specific, certainly has a wider application, but specifically to the household of faith. You know, it's a command there. And the command is, let us agape one another, right? It's the Greek word agape. You know, and for those who know a little bit of Greek, and I think, again, if you've been around Christianity enough, you probably know this, that there's three different Greek words for love. You know, one is eros, and eros is never used in the Word of God, but it's a Greek word. And when you look at that Greek word, it's just talking about a sexual, it's talking about a physical, an erotic kind of love. It's the whole definition that the world has as far as the highest form of love many times. And all it is, again, is a physical kind of love that happens to be in the world. Another love happens to be phileo. And phileo, again, just means brotherly love. You know, it's a love, again, of companionship. It's a love, again, of friendship. It's a love, again, where you can get along with somebody. They can be at an arm's distance, and you can be good friends, but they're still at an arm's distance. The love that God is calling us to love one another with is this agape love. And this agape love is, regardless of how I feel, right? I think if we do the right things, if we think the right things, right feelings will come. But regardless of the feelings, that I am going to work for you. I'm going to labor for your welfare, for what is best, for what is highest in your life. I'm going to labor so much so that you love Christ, that you see Christ, that you manifest Christ, that you have your joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to live for your desires. I'm going to live for your joy that happens to be in your life. It is a total self-giving kind of love. And if you've ever looked at your human heart and you've ever been honest about yourself, there's no way that we can give that love. You know, again, we're so self-focused. So the question becomes, if I'm commanded to give this love, how can I give this love? And here's the amazing thing. This is what I love about God. You know, whatever He's commanded us to do, He's given us the capacity to do. You know, so the secret for carrying out this command, it's not found in us, it's found in God. I mean, look at what He says here. He says, Beloved, and then here comes the command. Let us love one another. And He says this, for love is from God. You want to know where love is from? You want to know where love is from? Love is from God. And let me just say this about this verse. Please get this. This is telling us all about God. Please understand this. This is not talking about you. It's not talking about, yeah, I know God's love, and the reason why He loves me because I have this attribute. I have this ability. I have this skill. You know, God likes me or God loves me because of this that happens to be in me. We're going to find, again, as we go through this chapter, you know, that God loved us even before we loved Him. And it's not just talking about a prior love, but it's talking about a love that God loved us with before we had done anything good, before we had done anything bad. Therefore, God's choosing of loving us, it's not based upon my merit, and it's also not based upon my demerit. It's based upon a God who has chosen to love. And that's absolutely amazing. Because, you know, so often when we look at God, we think of external circumstances, but it's found internally in God. Think about this. If God is absolutely all-sufficient, right? And what we mean is all-sufficient. He's all-happy in himself. He has everything that he needs in himself. When he loves, it's a choice to love. It's not that something's being added by you or me in his life, right? He's all-sufficient. He's all-satisfied in himself. And yet he's chosen for sinners like you and me. He has chosen to love us in an extravagant way, as we see in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we say love is from God, we're talking about who God is. We're talking about the source of love. We're not talking about, again, me and you. You know, and this day has such practical applications that happen to be, again, in our life. Because as we look at love, this agape love is a choice, isn't it? You know, so often we look at our relationships and we look at the people that God has called us to love, and so often we'll say something like this: there's no way I can love that individual. And we'll say why. And we'll name again this about them, this about them, this about them, this about them, this about them. You're talking about a love that's external. You're talking about, again, a love that's responding, again, to external stimuli. That's not the love that God has called us to. He's called us to a love that makes a choice, right? That chooses, again, the welfare of those that happen to be around us, regardless of what they have done. Regardless, again, if it happens to be positive, regardless if it happens to be negative, we are called to love those individuals, right? Right? Love one another, right? Love them. And let me just say this. I'm getting kind of caught up in a minute. But let me just say this, and I want to speak again to many of the younger Christians, especially again those who are newly married, and especially again those who have young families in the church. You know, it's so easy to look at this idea and think that love is all about us. You know, and that's not the command here. You know, if you just love your family, if you just love your spouse, if you just love your kids, you're not carrying out the command that happens to be right here. Remember, the near application of this verse is loving the household of faith. And let me just say, if you haven't had children and you're just loving your spouse, just loving your children, just loving, again, a few external people outside of that, such as your parents or relations or whatever it happens to be, and you're not loving the household of faith, your children are not learning about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in a very practical way. You know, what you have to do, and young people have a hard time doing this, what you have to do is reach out beyond your borders. You have to love people that are older than you. You have to love people that are younger than you. You have to love people who cannot give you anything in return. And it's through that sacrificial love, and I know all of us only have so much time, but it's through that sacrificial love, that self-giving love, that your children actually see the manifestation of the love of Jesus Christ in you lived out. They see a practical application of this agape love in which God has chosen to love us. We make a choice. Here's an individual. Here's another individual. Here's another individual. Here's one that's struggling. Here's one, again, that might even done wrong by me, but I choose to love them. Right? We have to remember, again, we are trying to show them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in a practical way. So one of the greatest motivations that we can actually carry this out happens to be that this is the very character of God. You know, the second thing that I want us to see again this afternoon very quickly is the second motivation is that it's evidence that we're children of God. I mean, look at how he continues on in this verse. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." And then he says, "And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." That's the second motivation. The second motivation is that as I love, it's evidence that God's nature has been implanted to me, that I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we know this. I think as we look at a world that happens to be around us, we realize that many times they will try to love, you know, love people who've done them harm, but it will only go so far. You know, and then there'll be a wall, then there'll be a obstacle, and they just won't go past. They say it's not worth it. You know, but God has given us the capacity, hasn't he? He's given us the capacity as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to love those that happen to be around us. And you think of how different it is from the love that happens to be around us. The love that happens to be around us, please get this, is a love that's responsive, right? And what I mean by responsive is that it is responding to something outside of me, right? So the reason why I love you is because you're pretty. The reason why I love you is because you're handsome. The reason why I love you is because you're smart. The reason why I love you is because you enhance my relationship. The reason why I love you is because you got money. You know? But it's something outside of you that somehow creates something inside of me, some pleasure. You know, and so once you take that, and here's why it's so fickle, because once you take that pleasure away, once you take those looks away, once you take that money away, once you take that status or reputation away, that love falls apart. Why? Because it was never based on something concrete. It was never based upon something other than what happens to be external. God's love is different. God's love is a choice. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what it's going to cost me, regardless, again, of what you've done, regardless, again, of any of those external circumstances, I am going to choose to do you good. I'm going to choose to do you well that happens to be in your life. And it chooses to love those individuals. And that's exactly how God loves. God's love is not a responsive love, but a choosing love. If it was a responsive love, here's the bad news, and I hope all of us know this. This is Christianity 101. But if God's love was a responsive love, none of us would be loved. You know, that's the amazing thing. It's a choice that He has made. How? To relate to us in love. To choose to love you and me. And that's why, you know, John goes on in verse number 7. He says, whoever loves has been born of God. And knows God. I think that verse, again, is not that difficult to understand, is it? You know, it says whoever. Now here's a theological question, and you know what's coming next, right? Whoever means who? It means whoever. Whoever loves, right? You know, that's the qualification. So it's talking about this one who has this agape love, and this agape love is shown to others. Some deserve it. You know, some are easy to get along with, some are not so easy to get along with, but we show this agape love that happens to be around us. He says, again, if this is true of your life, look at what he says, because he says two things are true. One is that he's been born of God, and one is that he knows God. Both of those things. And born of God just means basically this, the new birth, that God's nature has been implanted in me. And we all know this, right? Right, we all know, you know, when you look at a young child, the young child many times takes on the characteristic of the parents. You know, when I got saved, one of the guys who was a big influence in my life, his first name was John. And John was a big guy. I mean, he had shoulders like this, you know, and he walked like a lumberjack. I don't know if you know what I mean by walk like a lumberjack, but he walked like all of his. And he had a little son. This big, and his son would walk right behind him, and you could see them both going like that, boom, 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 boom. But he took on the characteristics of his parents. You know, and it's the same with us. If we're born of God, if we've actually had God's nature implanted in us, one of the things that we're going to do, because this is what God is love. We will love. Right? And he says, this one, right, here's a sign. You want to see? We love. Agape love. But not only that, not only has he been born of God, he knows God. Now, what's the difference there? And the difference there is basically this. When he talks about knows, it's almost like he's been going back to chapter number 1. He's not just talking about knowledge of God, but he's talking about, again, this knowing God personally. He's talking about, again, this fellowship with God, that there's time spent with God. And you cannot help but when you spend time with God to be changed after the image of God. Isn't it true? I don't know if I used this illustration before. If I do, you can go on a two-minute, what do they call it, a commercial break. And I read the story about these men who worked in a perfume factory. You know, and they would always go to the same place at lunch. You know, and their times, again, as far as when they went to lunch, differed. So the employees never knew, again, exactly what time that they were going to come in. But they knew that they came into this place to get their lunch, even without seeing them. Guess how? Anyone know? This is really hard, isn't it? Because they smelled like perfume, right? It reeked out of them. Here's the thing. If you spend time with God, you know, if you're in fellowship with God, if you're in fellowship with His Word, if you're praying, if you're in His Word around His people, what is going to ooze out of us is the exact nature of God, the exact perfume of the love of God. It can't help but. You know, so it's a sign
that we're truly born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll act like our God. God really does change us when we have more fellowship with Him. But He states the exact same truth negatively in verse number 8. Look at what He says right here, because it's in reverse order. He says, anyone who does not love, right? Anyone means anyone, without qualification, if this is true of them, doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if they're pastor. Doesn't matter if they're deacon. Doesn't matter if they're church leader. Doesn't matter, again, if they belong to a church. Doesn't matter, again, if they've been baptized. He says anyone means anyone. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And that's so clear, isn't it? It really is crystal clear. And it's amazing, again, how many people try to use arguments to have and be against this. You know, I've known of so many people. You know, I've known, again, of Christians whose relations had cut them off after they came to Christianity and wanted nothing to do with them ever again. And they somehow say that they're loving individuals, they're caring individuals, that they're godly individuals. Let me say beyond a shadow of doubt, that's not a sign of love. That's not a sign of the new birth. That's not a sign of being God's child, right? And I realize some of you happen to be in that predicament. And when you're in that predicament, what do? We leave the doors open. We leave the doors open through repentance and faith that they might come back in. We continue to love. We continue to plead with them. But let me say, a hard disposition that says, I will, it's not saying that we're never going to have a struggle, but I will not love. It's not a sign, again, of having the character of God. It's not a sign of being God's child, but the exact opposite. You know, and we see this because he tells us, again, how do we know that? How do we know that anyone who does not love does not know God? It's because of this. Because God is love. I mean, His love is radical. And we've seen, again, in the Gospel of John, in John 4:24, that God is spirit. We've seen in 1:5 that God is light. And here we read, God is love. It's His very nature. You know, as the sun shines forth its beams of ray, as it shines forth light, God shines forth His beams of love that happens to be forth. And let me just say this, none of His attributes are in conflict with one another. So when we say God is love, He does everything in love, right? He creates in love, He saves in love, and gets this, He judges in love. Why? Because God is love. It's the totality of His being. I love the way C.S. Lewis describes it. He says, in God there is no hunger that needs to be filled. That's the idea that He's self-sufficient again. Only plenteous that desires to give. This kind of love in us enables us to love those who are naturally unlovable. I mean, it's this beautiful love that we have in the sea. Now, I've actually cut a little bit out of this, not a lot, but a little bit out of this, because I really want you to get the main thrust of it. And I know it's hard. Guess what? I had lunch too. You know, and I realize, again, so some of the afternoon services are hard for us to stay engaged. And so if you haven't just been shutting your eyes this afternoon, I take no offense by it, okay? I know it's hard. You know, but this is the thing that I want you to see. This is a sign, again, that we are from God. It's a command that's been given to us by a holy God. So here we have, we're beloved. Here we have, again, our status before this mighty God, even though we're sinners. Here we have the command to love. And here we have this God, again, who happens to be loving. Now, here's the question. Are we loving? Are we progressing in that love? You know, are we really taking out, are we getting off the couch and taking out that metaphorical baseball and learning more about God and practicing that in all the relationships that He's given us? That's what God wants us to do. Next week, we'll go on to this passage of Scripture and we'll see the greatest evidence, the greatest act of love in all of human history. But the thing that we have to ask ourselves is, are we cultivating this grace of love? Let's begin to live out the reality of who we truly are in Jesus Christ. So let's bow our hearts in a moment of prayer. Oh, Father, I thank You. I thank You that You're God of love. I thank You, Lord, that the reasons why You love are not external. Lord, we recognize that the world around us, Lord, chases here and there. Lord, and we recognize the bankruptcy of many of these relationships, God, because it's just based upon, Lord, not a commitment, not an agape love, not a self-love,
not a serving love, not a love that's willing to sacrifice and give of its own for the welfare, for the joy, for the security of others. But Lord, the love that happens to be of the world is all about me, is all about what I want. It's all about what I cherish. And God, we thank you that one of the ways that we exhibit the gospel, exhibit what kind of God we serve, is through your character, Lord, through your love. And God, I pray that we would be so invested in knowing your word, so invested in knowing you, Lord, that the perfume of our life would be love. The perfume of our life would be sacrifice. The perfume of our life would be giving. The perfume of our life would be to lay down, Lord, our desire for comfort, our desire to be loved, and that we would actually love others as you have loved us. God, we thank you. We thank you so much for your goodness. Just be with us now as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen.